It's good to see you back again this evening. This morning we talked about effective prayer and how important it is for every child of God to feel like the lines of communication are open between them and their Creator. And if it be that at times the door of communication is closed, and if there feels to be or seems to be a separation between us and God, that can really make a great difference in our life and really curtail our joy, our feeling of peace, our desire to share with others and to provide effective relief for others in need. We discussed a passage in John 15 this morning in verse 7, when on the night of his betrayal and crucifixion, Jesus, speaking to his chosen disciples, said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." John 15, verse 7. Now, that's an amazing statement. And because of the fact that there are similar statements to that effect in a wide range of contexts throughout the New Testament, there's a great deal of comfort in that. A comfort in knowing that God is our Father. A feeling of being loved because He has demonstrated that love in calling us His children. 1 John 3, verse 1. And comfort in knowing that no matter what the circumstance might be, there is one who cares and who is able to do something about it. Our God, the God of heaven. We mentioned this morning that effective prayer is conditioned upon three important things. One of them is maintaining a close relationship with the Lord. I mean, we can't really have an effective prayer life if we feel distant from God. Now, I might add this, and we may expound upon it later, but the chief reason for that feeling of distance from experience that I've had, that you've probably had, generally is sin. We feel farther away from God because of sin. And sometimes, as we relate it to Isaiah 59, there the prophet said to his own people, "Your sins have made a separation between you and your God so that he does not hear." Now their situation and ours may be different, but there's a certain separation or wall of separation that exists between us and God until we deal with that problem, the problem of sin. But isn't it great to know that God is faithful and righteous? If we confess our sins, He will forgive us our sins, and that we can stand right before Him again because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I would say this, is sometimes that feeling of separation may not be the result of sin. And if it is sin, we need to repent and pray. Other times it might be just excessive sorrow or grief or some particular situation in life where maybe you're just so overburdened by a particular problem that it's hard to utter the things you need to utter in prayer. But we do need to remember that the key is our relationship to the Lord. And then in regard to that also, and another effective or really a key or essential to effective prayer is to be able to freely express our desires to God. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And then the third one we mentioned in passing is to firmly place our trust in the power of God. Those three things. We're going to look at the last two of those this evening. This morning we mentioned the idea of really of emphasizing and maintaining a close relationship with the Lord. And the way that we examine that, or the way that we describe that close relationship, Jesus did in John 15, verse 7, is that we must abide in Him. And not only must we abide in Him, but His Word must abide in us. And similar expressions like that, Jesus abiding in us, His Word abiding in us, we're abiding in Jesus. The feeling you get is a multifaceted relationship where we are, there's a back and forth, a give and take, a two-way street, so to speak. We listen to Him, by allowing His Word to abide in our heart, learning and receiving it. And then we speak to Him through prayer, and that we have the intercession of Christ and the intercession of the Holy Spirit to help us in conveying our desires to Him. And that's really part and parcel to the idea of being close to the Lord. And what great blessings attend such a relationship. I'm sure you remember times in your life where you felt really close to God. Times where you could just at a moment's notice come before God in prayer. And I hope that's still the case and is the situation in your life, because He's such a God who always welcomes our requests and our desires and welcomes communication both to and from each one of us. But what great blessings there are. We mentioned spiritual freedom this morning, freedom from our sins. We mentioned power to overcome sin or temptation is a result of God's Word abiding in us. And then we also mentioned the blessing of fellowship. We want to abide in Christ's teachings. And if we do, John said in 2 John 9, we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes those words just kind of flow off our lips and we don't really think about them very deeply. But I think we need to reflect upon the fact that we are participants. We have fellowship with our Creator, with His Son Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And that vertical fellowship we have with the Godhead is also correspondingly a fellowship with one another as we all seek to follow God together. So we mentioned this relationship with the Lord and the communication to the Lord. And then also the process of being in the Lord. So this evening, and then I want to move on to the second key. In addition to maintaining a close relationship to God, we need to freely express our desires to the Lord. How do you do that? That's not something that just always comes by nature. Prayer doesn't always arise naturally from us. We have to kind of learn to pray. And that's why the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They could see something about Jesus that they wanted in their own life. Prayer can become so ritualistic and so mechanical that we forget about the relationship part of it. And so Jesus, in praying to the Father, you could see He is praying to the Father in heaven whom He loved. They had been together for all eternity. He and the Father were one. There was that relationship aspect that they wanted to learn about. And so sometimes we need to understand a little bit about that. I think sometimes it's hard to verbalize what we want to say. Maybe we're afraid. What if I ask for the wrong thing? What if I don't say it in the right way? Doesn't God already know what I need? Why do I have to ask for this? A lot of problems that can come up and compound the problem of separation from God. But as we think about this a little more closely, the Scripture says, I think it's in Romans chapter 8, you might check it out around verse 26, where the Apostle Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. You ever been in that situation? You don't know what to say? But then he goes on and talks about the Spirit interceding with groans too deep for words. We don't have to verbalize everything perfectly. In fact, sometimes we can get so caught up in the eloquence of our prayer and how it sounds, making it sound a certain way, like the people that Jesus spoke about, that the prayer doesn't get any higher than the ceiling. You remember the examples Jesus used in the parables that He told about the publican or the tax collector and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee praying, oh, you know, this is a paraphrase, God, I know that You're so thankful for me. And I pray all the time, and I fast all the time, and look at me, look at me. And then Jesus, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, talking about when you pray, don't be like those people that stand on the street corners and think they're going to be heard for their many words, and just on and on and on, just kind of, here, look at me, see how I'm praying. But just remember that the first prerequisite to freedom of expression is to turn loose of the feeling that I have to be eloquent, or that I have to use some sort of special prayer language, or that I have to verbalize exactly the right words that exactly describe how I feel and exactly in keeping with everything. I've always looked at that phrase, "Thy will be done," as sort of a catch net, a net underneath, so that if I don't do it right, it's okay. I'll just accept whatever happens here. So you need to have that first thing, and the freedom of expression comes that way. And focusing on our relationship to the Lord. Now, that's the first key. How do we mean that? There's something about prayer that causes us to get things in the right order. Now, remember, God, me. God is up here. I'm down here. He's the Creator, Psalm 100. We're the sheep of His pasture. We're not anything special. God is in charge. And so Jesus says, ask whatever you wish. Three-letter word, ask. But that three-letter word conveys a particular relationship. If I'm asking you for something, that implies that you have something that I need or something that I want. That puts me in a position of being the asker, the seeker, and you in the position of being the giver, the receiver of that request. And so what it means is this. We are dependent upon the Lord. He is not dependent upon us. The greatest prayer songs ever written, in my opinion, are those songs that express our dependency, our total dependency on God. And so Annie Hawks was 37 years old. She was a housewife. She was a poet of sorts, and while she was doing her daily tasks, she wrote down a little verse of song that was later put to music, and we just sang it a few moments ago. I need thee every hour. Simple. Not complex, but just simple. I need you every hour. That's what prayer is all about. Focus on the relationship as you go to Father in prayer. Remember that we are dependent upon Him for life and breath and all things. Spiritual and physical. Stanley Jones said, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. Then he describes it with this illustration. He says, if I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. So in essence, the matter of prayer, as much as anything, is a demonstration of our dependency upon God. God already knows what we need before we ask Him. And as we ask Him, it is really an exercise of humility on our part. He is the one who can grant our requests in keeping with His will. And we need to be the ones who are surrendering our life to Him. The kind of pride that gets us into trouble and makes our prayer life virtually meaningless is the attitude of, I can make it on my own without the help of the Lord. Or, worse still, Lord, I got to say something to you. Here's what you need to be doing. Point A, point B, point C. As though we are in charge and He is our servant. Or perhaps the situation where we don't pray until such time as we need God, we pull Him off the shelf, pray, give Him a few minutes to answer our prayer, and if He doesn't, we'll get mad at Him and put Him back on the shelf. You know, well, He didn't answer my prayer. Well, didn't He? He may have. The answer might have been no. But God does answer our prayers. In fact, the word prayer and the connection between it and surrender is noted by the fact that 125 times in the Scriptures, approximately, the word prayer or the word translated prayer is also translated or is translated instead consecration. So when we pray, there is an act of consecration to God. It's a turning ourselves over to His will in self-surrender. prayer in the New Testament is from a word that means to kiss toward or bow down to. And so sometimes when the word proskuneo is used in talking about prayer, it's just somebody who's bowing down before somebody, just a physical act. But prayer itself is the spiritual equivalent to that, where we're bowing down before God, surrendering ourselves to His will and to His purpose. Number one, remember your relationship. As you freely express yourself to the Lord, remember that you're looking up. You're bowing the knee. You're surrendering your will, your heart, and then you're expressing your desires in that direction. In the second place, as we freely express our desires to the Lord, at some point we're going to have to identify those desires which we wish to express to the Lord. Often, you know, it's true, and this is perfectly fine, you know, and I do this a lot as well, but we start praying and we just kind of start talking, and one thing leads to another and leads to another, and we just kind of go through our prayer, and that's good, and sometimes the most beneficial prayers of all. But other times maybe it's good to have some direction to our prayer. Like the elders have mentioned a number of times, the prayer lists and the extended prayer lists. We have lists for our missionaries and the various works we support. We have different things connected with the congregation here, different events that come up, and different circumstances within the congregation. So it's not without benefit sometimes, mentally or perhaps on a sheet of paper, to write down, what am I going to pray about? To make sure that I cover these things. You know, it's not hard to remember to pray for your wife or your husband and your children and your grandchildren. Those just kind of become natural because you do that all the time. But other times we need to begin identifying the desires we want to bring before the Lord. Jesus said, whatever you wish, whatever you desire. So in the course of a day, a situation arises, and we're supposed to be devoted to prayer, to pray without ceasing. So naturally, then our prayers will take on a flavor of the day. This is a situation. This is a circumstance. I'm going to pray about that today. I'm going to pray maybe more than once about that thing. So that's a good thing to do it, because Jesus said, whatever. That's a very broad term. As far as I can tell, it describes the breadth to which we may go in our prayers. He doesn't say, now when you get ready to pray, the first thing you need to do is cut that list in half. God's pretty busy, you know, and He can't be bothered with all your silly requests. No, whatever you desire, ask Him. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? That statement or that question is asked a couple of times in Scripture. And the answer is not at all. But the desires that we express need to be guided by the fact that His Word abides in us and we abide in Him. You know, if we abide in Him, that's the conditional part, and if His Word abides in us, whatever you wish, ask of the Lord. So the way this has been described, I can't remember it exactly, but the way this has been described is this. Our prayers take on a natural expression of our relationship to Christ. As we walk in the light, as we allow His Word to guide us in our lives, our prayers will more and more take on His nature and His desires. And so that's a wonderful thing. But he says, whatever it is, make your request be made known to God. 1 John 5, verse 14 says this. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. So there is a little condition in there. If you notice it, we usually underline that part, according to His will. But the according to his will goes right along with what Jesus said, if you abide in him and his word abides in you. I mean, we're surrendering in our prayer. We're surrendering to the idea that God is the one that's in charge. Not everything we might ask is necessarily according to his will. A number of years ago in the Reader's Digest magazine, there was a lady who wrote in about an experience that she had in visiting a congregation in Kentucky. And there was an especially loud, boisterous young lad who finally was carried out of the auditorium under his father's arm. And his father was not happy. Nobody really noticed that much about it until the young lad cried out and said, "Y'all pray for me now." Well, I don't know if that's the whatever Jesus was talking about. But I think he may have actually meant that request. Whatever it is, we need to be praying about it. So here's a couple of principles to help us in that regard. The first thing, as we bring our desires before the Lord, we must be submissive to his will. Thy will be done. That's the first foremost thing. It's not about getting what we want. Prayer is not about making a prayer list, a wish list, and saying, "God, I want this, and God, I want that, and give me a new car, and I need a new video game, or I need this," and just going down a wish list like God is some kind of Santa Claus granting wishes for us. This needs to be number one. It needs to be according to his will, and we need to be submissive. The second thing related to that also is we need to be seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. If we are submissive to his will and we truly want what is best for his kingdom, the church, his rule, and according to his righteousness, his will, that will help guide us in our prayers. And the third thing I put down is this: we need to love God with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And if we can muster together those three thoughts as we get ready to express our desires before God, it will be hardly imaginable that anything we would ask would be outside of the realm of his will. You know, we want to ask according to his will and submit to his will and seek his kingdom first. And then the third idea about being freedom of expression in prayer. At some point, we need to get specific about our requests. Specific. Remember what James said in James 4, verse 2? You have not because you ask not. I don't know why they didn't ask. My mom used to tell me sometimes, she'd say, "Ask your father." He never got asked. I just thought, you know, it ain't going to work. If it ain't going to work on her, it ain't going to work on him, you know. So ask your father. Well, sometimes we don't ask because, you know, we don't have enough faith to ask. Sometimes we don't ask because it just kind of condescending on our part to have to humble ourselves and ask for his help. We've got too much pride in the heart. But we need to get specific about what it is that we want to do. We need to think about God's will being done, but we need to ask. Jesus invited the disciples in John 14, verse 13, to ask anything in his name. He said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now somebody says, well, that's talking to the apostles, and it is. But then you go over to 1 John chapter 5. I think we might have referred to this. Chapter 3. I'll get to 5 in a minute. Verses 21. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." He's talking to the Christians in general. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." Well, what is the relationship that is connected to effective prayer? Well, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and my words abide in you." John said that relationship is characterized by keeping his commandments and doing what is pleasing in his sight. Those things all fall together. If we're abiding in Christ and his word is abiding in us, it will be expressing in us and shown in our lives to be obedient and pleasing in his sight. And if God's pleased with us, he says, then we know that he will do the things that are in keeping with his will. But we need to get specific. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, when he says that, he doesn't mention the specific request there, but when he says, let your requests, the requests, you point an arrow back to the things that make you anxious. And then from the things that make you anxious, then you flip over to in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let these requests be made known unto God. When you give it to God and you make your specific request to God, then you can kind of turn loose of it, you see. You don't have to worry about it anymore. God's going to handle it. He may not do it exactly the way that you think he should, but he's going to give you strength. He's going to tell you to hang in there. He's going to change the situation or change you or do something, but he will do what he's promised to do. Too many of our prayers, and I'm talking to myself, you know, there's one finger pointed and several pointed back, but sometimes our prayers are too generic, should I say. You know, and I think sometimes that's because we want to get through with the prayer because that's something we got to do every day, and we got to get off the checklist and move on with our regular things. We're too busy to really get specific. So, you know, bless the church, bless our family, bless our wife, bless our husband. Thank you for this food, in Jesus' name, amen, kind of prayer. You know, you get it done, you get it fast, but it doesn't really get terribly specific. I'm not saying that's wrong, but it might be good to think about what are our specific requests. How do we want God to bless our family, to bless our son, to bless our daughter? How do we want God to bless the church? How do we want God to bless the elders of the congregation? Or the preacher. That's a big area right there. How do you want the preacher to figure things out and change and do things better? You know, be specific about your prayer requests. I read a story about an elder in Texas one time who was very specific in his prayer. He prayed, Lord, you know what a hard time mother and I have had keeping our family together on the farm. Now, Lord, that Rick has moved in. And if you think we can't manage our affairs with oil, give us a dry hole. But Lord, if you believe we can manage it, give us a gusher. Well, that's pretty specific. But you also notice that it's not demanding. It's, you know, if you will kind of prayer. But it's very specific. And as long as we feel like we're not able to get specific about a request, we're probably going to struggle with having an effective prayer life. Because sometimes we may not know specifically what to ask for, and that may be the subject of our prayer. We don't know what to ask for. We leave it into his hands. But sometimes if we, you know, Lord, you know, your will be done, but could you do this or that or the other thing? So keep in mind our relationship with the Lord, and let our godly desires, our desires according to his will, be as specific as we can as we pray before the Father. Now, freedom of expression, maintaining a close relationship with the Lord, getting things right with him. A third important key to an effective prayer life is firmly trusting in the power of Almighty God. I mean, why in the world would we pray for God to help us or God to do something if we don't think that prayer has any benefit whatsoever? If we think that prayer is just a exercise we go through and we don't, there's no really answer to prayer, there's no really involvement of God in answering our prayer in a providential way, then you have to ask, well, what's the purpose of prayer? Well, we believe that God does answer prayer. And Jesus said simply, and it will be done. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. Now, he's talking to the apostles, of course. And, of course, they had a special three-year relationship with him. They understood that. But that expression, it will be done, is the same terminology that is translated in John chapter 1, around verse 3, it came into being, where Jesus, the Word incarnate, all things are made through Him, and through Him all things have come into being. Well, there's a different way of looking at it. If we pray according to His will, and we're deeply into the will of God and surrendered to His purpose and seeking His purpose in our life, and it's His will, it will be done. It will come into being. It will come about. If it doesn't come about in our timetable, we may have to wait. If it doesn't come about at all, it may be that God had a better way, a different plan. We just need to put ourselves in a position to trust that He will work all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. We just have to put our trust in Him. He has that power. And His power is proven over and over again as we look at the Scripture. The awesome power is that which is available to us. The power that spoke the universe into existence is the power that we have in prayer. Well, I can't pray to God. My problem is just too big. Is it really? The one who made the heavens and the earth, can He not help? Can He not help you handle that situation? Of course He can. God is able. As the Scripture says, He is able to do what He has promised. And concerning this God, the power of God, Paul wrote, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen through the things which have been made, so that we are without excuse." You want to look at the power of God as you're praying. And one of the best things about prayer sometimes is being outside and praying, going for a walk in the woods somewhere, or along the seashore or a lake or somewhere, and just being out in nature and praying, because everywhere you look around you, there's God's creative power and genius, and you're talking to the one who made it all. What a beautiful thing that is. The evidence of His power is everywhere around us. And then the second characteristic of God's power is that it is effective. When Jesus said, "And it will be done," He had no doubt at all. Now, He preceded it by the condition, "If you abide in Me and My word abide in you," and John has said, if it's according to His will, if the conditions are there, this is God's will, and we're surrendered to His will, we're asking in keeping with His will, it will be done. It's effective. Remember again, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. It sounds like a pretty simple math problem. If this, then that. If He hears us and we're asking according to His will, then He answers that prayer. And remember that He answers prayer in all sorts of ways. But the power is there. He's effective. Paul said this in Ephesians 3, verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think through the power that works within us, to Him be the glory both now and forever in Christ Jesus." So He is able to do far more abundantly. Sometimes we'll ask something. Well, God will do something entirely different, far and above, beyond what we ask or think. We may not even be able to see all the answers to that prayer. Sometimes we ask, like Paul did, "Remove this thorn from my flesh." And God answers that prayer basically saying, "No, My grace is sufficient for you." But in answering that prayer, He is developing the character of the Apostle Paul, preventing him from getting kind of big in or proud of himself, keeping him humble. And in doing so, furthering the work and making him more effective as a preacher of the gospel. More souls are being saved. Those souls that are saved then have families. They have people that they influence. And down through the streams of time, who knows how many hundreds or thousands of people will be in heaven because the Apostle Paul was told no to his request to have the thorn in the flesh removed. That's why we have to remember God has all wisdom. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the beginning from the end. In other words, when we pray for one thing, there are ramifications that sprinkle through like through the streams of time. They're just like little waves that ripple through. And we need to remember that God is in control of it all. So God is able. He has the power. Why are we reluctant to pray? I think it's just sometimes it just takes a lot of discipline. Sometimes there's a problem with pride or selfishness or sin. Sometimes we're reluctant to trust in Him because it says something about us, that we are dependent upon Him. Why is it that we sometimes wait until every avenue has been exhausted before we spend time in prayer? Now, I know this, that sometimes the answer to prayer might involve our activity. You know what I mean? Lord, give us something to eat. And we get a phone call and somebody says, hey, I got a job for you. You can come over here and earn this many dollars an hour if you come over here and pull these weeds or do this job or that job. Well, God has answered the prayer by giving us a job to do. So sometimes that's true. But nonetheless, we need to trust in God's power to be effective. And finally, about God's power, it is absolutely reliable, isn't it? Has it ever failed? No. Sometimes we ask for the wrong reason, with the wrong motives, but that doesn't mean God's power has failed. When God answers a prayer of someone who trusts Him and seeks His will and loves Him, and then doesn't answer someone who is proud and arrogant and stubbornly rebellious to God's will, there may be a reason for that. God may see that sometimes the discipline factor might cause someone to turn back and repent. So we don't know all the answers. We may not always get what we want, what we desire. But if our desire is to let God have His way, even if a specific request is not granted, the prayer has been answered according to our real desire, which is, let Him have His way with you. That's really what we want. That's going to be best in the end. I love this poem, and I've heard it many times, and you've heard it many times, but I still think it's worth repeating. The poet said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. And despite myself, my prayers were answered. I am above all men most blessed. And that's kind of the way it goes. Sometimes, as the song says, we thank God for, quote-unquote, unanswered prayer. Meaning by that, not getting exactly what we thought we needed. There's a cartoon about a fellow. I can relate to this, being from Kansas and hearing many prayers offered in the services by farmers. This guy was a farmer down in, the story doesn't say, but he was a farmer leaning on the pulpit, dressed up in beat up overalls and talking to the church. And he said, we've all gathered here today to pray for rain. Who's brought an umbrella? And human nature being what it is, you know, I've heard farmers get up and pray. And they prayed, Lord, we could sure use some rain. And I remember a number of times, unexpectedly, a shower would come that night or the next day. And people would tend to say, man, what a coincidence that was. What a coincidence that was. Now, God has a way of answering prayers that keeps in mind the fact that rain for one person might be good and bad for another person. So God can balance all those things in answering prayers. But we're told to get specific in our prayers, and He will answer our prayers. Someone has said that prayerless people are powerless people. And so we need to develop an effective prayer life. And today we've talked about the importance of maintaining a close relationship with the Lord. We've got to do that every day, not one day a week. We can't just slide by with, things are going well today and we're praying and we're worshiping God, and then somewhere along the week something happens that just gets us out of joint and we spend 3 or 4 days in a spiritual funk where we aren't worth a thing to God or anybody else. We're just kind of going around like a faithless atheist or something. And then finally we kind of come to our senses and get back on track. What we need to do is have a consistent relationship with the Lord. And it ain't going to happen overnight, I know that. I'm not saying what you ought to do is say, well, tomorrow I'm going to start praying and we'll spend a whole hour in prayer. And you do that for 3 or 4 days and say, I just don't have time for that and quit altogether, What we're talking about is doing what you can where you are with what you have. Maybe just a few minutes of prayer to begin with, from the heart, talking to God, and expanding that through the day, whenever an opportunity arises to whisper a prayer. Maybe to develop a time in the day where you can actually spend some time with God in prayer. This is the beginning of great things in your life. So what do you mean? This is how your life changes. I know we have to read and study the Bible, but we need to develop that close relationship with the Lord. And that can change your life more dramatically than anything else you can imagine. That is the beginning point of making changes in the church that will be unbelievable, because prayer plugs us into the power of God. We can't do it ourselves. We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. That's where it starts. And so begin where you have that opportunity, in your prayer life, in reading the Word of God. Develop that close relationship and learn to feel freer about expressing your desires within the context of His will. And then trust in the almighty power of God. The power of God to answer your prayer, yes. But maybe more importantly, the power of God to change your heart, change your life, to make you more what you ought to be. We mentioned this morning how important it is to come into Christ. Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3 and 4, both of those passages talk about being baptized into Christ. It's a new birth process that Jesus described in John chapter 3. It's clothing ourselves with Jesus. It's coming into that relationship with Him where we have all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1, verse 3. That is how we establish that relationship. Now we've got to maintain it. When we wander away, because we are Christians, we have the benefit of prayer, of confession, repentance, and prayer, and we can get back to that relationship. There's no reason why we cannot just walk in the light as He is in the light and have fellowship with Him on a day-to-day basis in Christ. I hope you'll think about those thoughts, and I hope you'll begin thinking about your prayer life and making it more effective. Just start small if you have to, but begin today. Make things right. Deal with the problem of sin first, and then work on maintaining and establishing and maintaining that relationship. If we can help you tonight, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing this song.